Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. They that should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man child, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's reading the whole chapter. More in that than I can ever preach out. And as I told you, I'm not going to profess to you that I'm a scholar or that I have vast knowledge that you don't have. That's not me. And that's not what the Lord told me to do. He called me to preach the word. Amen. And so if I had a little thought on my heart, this is all I got, and if the Lord don't come by, I'm ruined. War. And I know we've got people that are in the world today, and we can turn on the TV. Sister and I were talking before church today. We can turn on the TV and you can see where they're fighting over. Russia's at war with Ukraine, and Israel's at war with the folks over in Gaza, with the Arabs over there. And I know we got people trying to tie that back to scripture and all that, and I can't say about that. But we are in a war. And you don't have to have a gun to fight. You see, we're already in war, whether you realize it or not. We have been for a long, long The Bible says that the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit warreth against the flesh. Paul said, "For when I would do good, evil is always present with me." And you might say, well, how are we going to win? How are we going to claim victory? You never will do it on your own. You never will be able to claim victory. And I've heard people make that statement, I'd like to give Satan a black eye. You better leave him alone. He'll whoop you. And he'll leave you dragging. That's his job. Did you know that? Did you hear what I read to you? He's angry because he knows that he's just got a short time. Just a few more days is all he's got. And I know there's a doctrine out there that talks about 1,000 years and things like that. What I've read is the Bible says that the angel will set 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea and declare that time shall be no more.
Amen.
And did you know, when that day comes, the Lord is only coming back after one thing?
That's right.
He's not interested in all the artifacts over in Israel. He's not interested in all the property over there or all the things that men could offer. He's coming back after one thing. It's the one thing that left heaven and it's still here. And the only thing he's coming back to get is what's covered under the blood.
Amen.
That's what left heaven. That's what he's coming back to get.
Amen.
And I'm glad that I've been washed in the blood.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Yes. Praise the Lord.
He never promised us when he saved us that it'd be easy. He never promised us that we'd just sit back and we'd be well fed and taken care of and we'd never have to do anything. As a matter of fact, he said, work while it's day, for night cometh when no man can work. He expects us to do for him. Did you know that? If he gave his life for you, don't you owe him something? If he died on Calvary and the blood that he shed on Calvary was for you, surely we should be grateful enough to stand up for him when it comes to fighting against Satan.
Amen.
I'm afraid there's a great number that have just laid down. That have just laid out. That have just quit. Friend, I've heard ministers say, I'm not going to say preachers, I've heard ministers say, well, I'm going to retire. I can't do that.
No.
I can't do that. He called me.
Yeah, that's right.
And it might get to the point where I can't walk around, where I can't run, where I have to hold to the scene. I've seen preachers as they got older, preachers that used to be real active, they'd get to where they couldn't hardly move and they'd have to stand and hold to the stand. But you know what they did? They got up, they held the stand, and they preached the word of God anyway. Because they wanted to fight. They wanted to lift up the name of the Lord. And friends, let me tell you something. We're in a constant warfare. And you say, well, preacher, I've got my gun at home. You can leave it right where it's at, honey. You're better off to take this right here and to hit your knees. And to bury your head in God's word. Because God's got a battle you're going to have to face. Every one of us have to stand for the Lord. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Satan is not pleased with you and you're in the center of God's will. And he's got a trial waiting for you. He's got a battle waiting for you. And if you're not very careful, you'll give in to it. If you're not very careful, you'll listen to it. Did you know it's easier to sit back and do nothing than it is to stand for God? As far as this flesh is concerned, it's a lot easier just to sit still. Nobody notices me. Nobody's going to say anything to me if I just sit still and I don't do anything. But if you don't do what God would have you to do, trouble's coming your way. Let me tell you something. It's about time that God's people stood up. It's about time that God's people stood for what's right. And preacher, let's go to the ballot box. Let's start at the altar. How about that?
That's right.
Should we start at the altar? Should we tell? Listen, the Bible says this, confess your faults one to another. Do I read my Bible the way that I should? No, I don't. I'm afraid to say that I don't all the time. Do I pray as often as I need to? I don't most of the time. But listen, friend, I have a way that I can get in touch with God when I go before Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When I have, the Bible said this, when you've done all to stand, stand still. I remember, I don't know where I'm going. I remember when Moses went and he told Pharaoh, let my people go. And you know the story. I'll not go all through it. But the midnight cry was made and Pharaoh's own son died, and in his bereavement, in his sorrow, he told Moses, get your people to get out of here. And then he changed his mind. He hardened his heart, didn't he? And Pharaoh and his 600 chariots went after the children of Israel and tracked behind them, and there was a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to separate and protect God's people. And they got down there to the Red Sea, and there was Pharaoh's army in behind the children of Israel and the Red Sea in front of them, and some of them began to sit down and give up.
Mm-hmm.
Here they were in imminent danger. Pharaoh's army bearing down on them. And they said it had been better off if we just stayed down in Egypt and eaten the flesh pots. Why did we ever take a stand? Let me tell you something. What's waiting is worth fighting for.
Amen.
There's a constant warfare. Flesh is enmity against God. That's what the Bible says. And flesh always wants the easy way out.
True.
If you're going to stand for God, it's not going to be easy.
That's right.
But He said, lo, I'm with you always. Even in the hard times, when everybody else has turned their back on you, when you feel like you ain't got a friend in the world, Jesus is just a whisper away. He'll be right there with you.
Yeah.
They got down there at Moses. The Lord told him to stand still, didn't He? And then He told him to take the rod and smote the water. If you need something to stand on, take the rod with you.
Amen.
He took the rod and He smote the water. And that night the Lord sent an east wind, and it parted the water in the Red Sea. And the children of Israel crossed through the middle of the Red Sea on dry ground.
Amen.
Now listen, I know science has tried to prove otherwise. It wasn't a shallow place. It wasn't a place where they might have just been a little water that they could have crossed through in the middle of the sea. They crossed through on dry ground. It was so obvious that the ground was dry that the chariots of Pharaoh could see the dust that was kicking up off their feet as they walked through the middle of the Red Sea. That's how dry it was. When God does something, He does it right.
Amen.
War. I want you to notice something about this story. The Lord didn't tell Moses to tell the children of Israel to take their weapons, did He? He didn't tell them to take their spears or their arrows or whatever they had. He told them to take their pots because they was going on a journey and they'd need nourishment. He told them to walk, didn't He? They crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground. See, what I'm telling you is really a war story. I'm telling you a war story. Pharaoh and his chariots charged down in there. I can read this. I read where that the wheels of the chariots drove down into the sand. And they got stuck. Now that's dry sand right there.
Mm-hmm.
They got stuck. And then the Lord caused
the wall of water on one side and on the other to cave in on Pharaoh and his army, and they were destroyed. You see, we've got somebody to fight our battles with us. We need somebody to fight our battles with in this day and age. Did you read? Hear the story that I read to you, the scripture that I read to you just a minute ago about that woman that brought forth the man child, and then she went into the wilderness and the earth protected her. Listen, who is that? That was Mary that was being talked about. She brought forth Jesus. But who does that represent in this day and age? That represents the church. We're in the middle of a wilderness. We're in the middle of a place of darkness, a place where there's no ray of hope, a place where that men stumble around in the darkness, lost and undone without God. And the only hope that they've got is that woman, the bride of Christ, the church of the living God. Friend, she's been tried, she's been tested, she's been talked about, she's been stomped on. We're in the middle of a war. A war for souls. And listen, I've been here 8+ years. Was it Round Mountain for 9? Nothing blesses a church or helps a church anymore than when we can claim victory when we see a soul saved. You talking about a morale booster. You talk about a blessing when your little boy or girl, when your cousin, when your aunt, when your uncle, when your niece, when your nephew stands up off the altar and says, Jesus, save me. Ain't that wonderful? Oh, victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him. Did you know that Satan has always been on the losing side? Did you think anything's ever going to change? People are worried to death about the mark of the beast. People are worried to death about Satan ruling and reigning. Let me tell you something. We win! Jesus is going to come and He's going to claim His own, the ones that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm one of His, and He's coming back one day, and I've disappointed Him so much. I've let Him down day after day, but He'll never disown me. He'll never rebuke His salvation from me. He'll never take it away. I preach that we're saved to the uttermost. Eternal salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Bless Him, Lord.
And a God enough that makes me want to work for Him.
Yeah.
That makes me want to do for Him.
Yeah.
And if you're struggling with sitting back and not doing anything, maybe you ought to check the line. Well, I can be a good person at home. And you're right. But you can be a better person at church.
Amen.
Oh, friend, there was war in heaven. And Satan and a third part of the angels was cast out. Where? Into the earth. I know there's a lot of places where evil goes on. Let's back up just a minute before we start giving addresses. Where was he cast? Into the earth. What are we? Are we not the dust of the earth? I told you, Paul said, I find then a law. When I would do good, evil is always present with me. You ever had... Somebody mentioned this just a service or two ago. You ever had the Lord say, won't you talk? Yeah. You ever had the Lord say, won't you sing a song? Have you ever had the Lord say, you need to tell about when you got saved? Yeah. And just as soon as the Lord places that on your heart, Satan gets right down in your ears, and you know what they'll think of you if you open your mouth. And then we doubt, don't we? You know what that is? That's the war going on. That's the war going on. And we'll help Satan out, won't we? Now, Lord, if that's you, if that's you, I've been there and I've done that myself. If that's you, Lord, have so-and-so talk. Or have so-and-so sing a song. And then the next thing you know, there they were doing exactly what you asked the Lord to show you. And then I'd be so sorry that I'd say, well, Lord, if that's really you, have such and such do so. And then there they was. You see, friend, if I'd have just done what the Lord had had me to do, then people wouldn't have been troubled. We're in a battle. Let me just say this. Did you know we have sinners that attend Dutch Bottoms? Did you know that? I have preached to you about the man that was sick of the palsy, that four of his friends took him down there to where Jesus was. And we all know that the man got healed because Jesus says, their faith hath made thee whole. Okay. But why couldn't they go in at the door? Why couldn't they get in the house just to walk in the door? What was the problem with that? Why didn't they have to go up on the roof, lift him up, strain, and then when they got up there, they had to tear the tiles off of the roof. It seemed like a lot of extra work just to get the man to Jesus. Why did they have to do all of that? You remember that story? They couldn't get him in at the door because there was folks standing in the way. Did you know you don't have to do anything to be wrong? If we're not very careful, we can let Satan win right between our ears and stand right in the way of somebody getting saved. Did you know that? All we've got to do, now listen, I've seen it and you've seen it. I know it's a Sunday night, it's just your regular church folks, and here we are. Have you ever seen somebody get up in the wrong spirit? You can do that, preacher? Well, yes, you can. Satan likes to work on the altar just like Jesus does. And when we get up in an old sourpuss attitude, when we get up angry at one another, when we say words that edify ourselves rather than the Savior, it's Satan winning the battle. Did you know that? Oh, you'd be so thrilled if you said something to hurt your brother or sister. It tickles Satan to death. If I said something that hurt you, that you would never come back. Did you know that? But he don't like it when the Spirit of God moves. He has to move out when the church is in power and glory. And it's just like we talked about earlier. We've got a whole generation or two or even three to this point that have never seen the real church. Do you remember when the church had victory? Do you remember seeing her in her first glory? Do you remember when the pews didn't matter? Do you remember hearing a shout? Oh, that's not right, preacher. That's what's wrong. And I'm not talking about a shout to get attention from somebody. I'm talking about a shout to praise the Savior.
Amen.
You remember when the church would just go and shake hands and hug necks and tell each other what a blessing that they had been to one another?
Amen.
How tears would roll and people would run to the altar and it was your people getting saved and you were rejoicing. And if it wasn't yours, it was your brothers that you had been praying for too and you got to see them saved. And oh, what a time. Do you know how long it's been since we've been to that place?
Do you know how long it's been since the world has realized that that's what church really is all about? They think it's just a man bringing forth a few minutes of preaching. They think it's just reading a little bit of scripture, saying a prayer, singing some old songs they've heard a million times. That's what they think church is. It's about time that we stand up for the Lord and claim victory.
We sang, "Oh, victory in Jesus," but let those words just go right over the top of our head. Amen. It ought to make you shout to think that we have victory. Mm-hmm. That folks like us have victory. I preached to you about Cornelius this morning. He wasn't of the Jewish lineage, but he got victory, didn't he?
Yes.
He saw his people saved, redeemed.
Yeah.
Was it last Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
You got victory.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Just last Sunday, something wonderful happened.
Amen.
Right here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. John Dyke, you've raised your family in this church. Do you remember the time them little old girls, that boy fell on their knees and got saved and the church rejoiced? You had your children here at one time too, didn't you? You seen them kneel around the altar of fire and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And the church rejoiced. Miss Haley, you've seen your children bow down and say, "Jesus, please save me." Wasn't it a great day? A great victory. Friend, we need to tell the world.
Amen.
Amen.
I know it's a constant warfare. We need to tell the world how they can have victory.
Yeah.
Got one more place to go. Then I'll hush. Do you remember Rahab, the harlot? She lived down in Jericho, and she heard that God's children were coming their way. And she knew their reputation, that wherever they went, God gave them victory. And the king had heard it too. And Joshua sent spies out to spy out the city. And they came to Rahab's house. And the king sent men to look for them. And so Rahab took the spies up and put them on the roof and hid them under the shucks, I guess you'd say, that was there on top of the roof so that they couldn't be seen, so that the king couldn't kill them. And tried her best to protect God's men. And before they left, Rahab told them how to get out of the city and to get to safety. Before they left, they said, "What will we do for you?" She said, "Give me a true token. When you come and this place is destroyed, will you save me and my family?" You see, I don't care if you're a harlot. There's somebody that matters to you.
Amen.
I don't care if you're a drunkard. There's somebody that you care about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're an axe murderer. There's somebody that has meant something to you along life's way that you love. We're all human. Rahab said, "Will you find a way that I can save my family? Because war is coming and my country is going to be destroyed." They said, "You take a scarlet cord and you put it in the window and you hang it down there. And when we see that, we won't touch your house. And in between here and there, you get all your family that you can into your house. And they'll be safe when the war comes." Mm-hmm. Listen, folks,
It's coming. There's coming a day when Jesus is going to return, when the very elements of this place will be melted with a fervent heat, when all that have ever breathed a breath will look upon the face of Jesus, and he'll say, enter in, or he'll say, depart. Until then, let's gather everybody. Let's gather everybody we love in the house. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's gather everybody in the house. You got somebody you love that's not in here. Let's work and pray till we get them in to the ark of safety, because destruction is coming. Yeah. And I want them to live, don't you?
Amen.
Yes. Just hang that scarlet cord in the window.
Bless you.
What did that represent? That was the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I've told this. You don't have anything else to do for the next 10 minutes. So. My grandpa, and some of you that have been around this area for a while, remember him. He had a disease. It's a little more popular now, but it was unheard of at the time. He had to go to Vanderbilt for treatment. Had to get dialysis and scleroderma. And it's a disease that settles in one of your major organs and just slowly kills it off. His settled in his kidneys. And he was down at Vanderbilt for, I guess, about 6 weeks. And his kids would take turns. They'd go down and stay with him for a week at a time. Dad's sister was down there the week before Dad was supposed to go, and she told about how, if you knew my grandpa, he led singing for years and years and years. He was a deacon at Race Chapel and a deacon at Rankin. About as good a Christian man as I've ever known. And she talked about how he was out of his head and how he was saying things he would have never have uttered when he was in his right mind. It really bothered Dad. And he went down there, and there he was, just out of it. He said the first night that he stayed, about 3 a.m, he hadn't heard him make a sound. And then he heard, hold to his hand. Two gods are changing hands.
Yeah.
You see, friend, he might not have even known he was in the world, but he knew who he was holding on to.
Amen.
He was holding on to the one that could bring him victory.
Amen.
Now, he came out of that state, and they told him that he could go home. And when they asked him if he wanted to go home, he said, I'll go down to Dutch Bottoms for a little while, but I'm not going home yet. You see, he wasn't talking about the little white house down here at the bottom of the hill. He was talking about the real home.
Amen. Amen.
Then he was going to have victory. See, we're at war. And every second Satan can steal from us. Every day that he can get your mind off on the things of this world is one more little victory he can claim.
Yeah.
But you need to keep in mind that time don't mean a thing to the Lord. Did you know
right.
that?
Amen.
All that he's concerned about is whether you're going to live for him,
yeah.
whether you're going to serve him.
Yeah.
Listen, it's not the time for me to serve him right now. It's time for me to worship him. Tomorrow, when Satan comes around and he wants to beat me up and fill my plate up with things that are going to overwhelm me, tomorrow is the day that I will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
War. So who is going to win in your life on Monday? Who's it going to be? Did you know you have a big say in that? You have a big say in that. And listen, There came a time of war in Job's life. I didn't read where he killed anybody, preacher. Read carefully. And did you know, I know the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changes not. But you know Satan don't either. He never takes a vacation. He don't take a day off. And if he can't destroy you today, he'll be back tomorrow. He'll be back tomorrow. You read where the Lord and Satan had a conversation in the book of Job, and the Lord said, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've been going up and down and to and fro in the earth, seeking whom I may devour." So if you've been on your knees praying and Satan can't do nothing with you today, he'll come over here. And if you've been on your knees praying and Satan can't do anything with you today, he'll come over here. And if he catches you slacking just a little bit, he's coming. He's going to attack you. He don't discriminate. He'd just soon destroy you as he would me. He don't care. Marty's a deacon at this church. He's been a deacon for 50-something years, close to that. Been a member here for a long time, was married here in this church, and Satan would like to totally destroy him. He'd like to have him on the side of 25E with a sign begging for bread. He'd like to humiliate him and have him totally, any confidence anybody ever had in him, wiped out. He'd like to get him to the point where Marty'd say, "I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to quit." Oh, let me tell you something. Satan is a liar. Did you know that? And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if Satan's up on your back and on your shoulders and pressing down and you just can't contain the weight anymore, you feel like you're going to crumble, you feel your knees buckling, greater is he that's in you, that's in the world. I've got victory today, not by any great thing I've done, not by any marvel that I've accomplished. It's because of the grace and the mercy and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, I'm scared of what's going to happen. I'm scared for people that are lost. But I'm not worried. When he comes, I'm ready. I'm ready. I sang that song, "I want to be ready to meet him." I am. I've already made preparations. For I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that that I've committed unto him.
Amen.
Against that day. Let me finish with this. "I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep in the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and with a shout. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." Now, does it say this or does it not? "And so shall we ever be with the Lord."
Amen.
Is that King James Version Bible?
Yes.
Have you read that?
Yes.
I don't care about streets of gold. I don't care about the gates of pearl.
Amen.
I don't care about the walls of jasper. I don't care about the mansions. What's going to make it heaven is getting to spend eternity with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
"So shall we ever be with the Lord." Mm-hmm. Nothing else matters.
Right.
Nothing else matters. You've heard me preach it. I hope you've read it. It said we would sing a song that the angels can't sing. I don't know what that song will be. But I can guarantee you this. It'll be a victory song. Might be victory in Jesus. I don't know. I believe we'll be singing his praises, don't you?
Yeah.
How's that go? "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me." Aren't you glad that he looked for you?
Yes.
Aren't you glad when you were lost and undone, he came looking for you? Amen. He saw me, and he seen the great big debt of sin I owed, and he bought me through his redeeming blood.
Amen.
I used to think $1 million was a lot of money, and I thought when I was young, one day I'll make $1 million. I have, but it's been spread over 30-something years. And it don't go as far as you think it does. But if I could take every dime I've ever made, it'd never pay the price for the debt of sin that I owed. Jesus didn't blink an eye at it. He said, "Give me that. I've got it covered.
Amen.
I'll pay for it." And if you think my debt was large, he took yours and paid it too. And he took yours and paid it too.
Amen.
Aren't you glad Jesus paid it all?
Amen.
All to him I owe.
Mm-hmm.
He loved me ere I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And all my love is due him. I know you love me. You need to love him more.
Amen.
I love you too, but we all need to love him more.
Amen.
Sometimes we just need to tell him,
"Amen.
I love you." What's the chorus say? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, listen, friend. We may have to go through a battle down here. And he never promised us that we'd win all of them. But if I don't win one, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
It's mine. Because I didn't listen to his battle strategy. Because I didn't humble my heart. Because I didn't fall on my knees. Because I didn't read his word. Because I didn't do what he told me to do.
Yeah.
I heard a guy last night talking about how they were going to send troops over to Israel. I don't know what will happen. I can't promise you anything. But now, wouldn't it be silly for them to say, "Mike, you got to go"? I wouldn't have a choice. But guess what? It's been probably 25 years since I fired a gun. And it was an old 12-gauge shotgun at that. That was unsafe to fire from the get-go. What good would I do? Well, they'd shoot me in a heartbeat. I would be useless. Because I don't have that kind of training that's required of a soldier. Now, there's some men here that served in the Army and different branches of the service. They didn't hand you a gun and say, "There you go, buddy. You go get it." They made you break that thing down forwards and backwards, know every piece and every part of it, where it went and how it went, how to carry it, and how never to leave it unattended, and how to treat it. They taught you how to sleep, how to eat, when to speak, when not to speak, and every step you were supposed to take, they trained you to fight. And I don't know when Satan's coming to fight you, but I can promise you he is. So until he does, don't forget your training. Pray without ceasing. Bury your head in God's word. Humble your heart. Do what God would have you to do. Now, I have seen Satan attack folks right on the altar. But most of the time, it's whenever you're about as far away from God's people as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
He attacks you at your weakest point. Did you know that? You know what Scripture says? Put on the whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We're okay with a helmet, aren't we? But do we live righteous? The breastplate of righteousness.
loins girded about with truth. What is that? What did Jesus say he was? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Feet shod with what? Well, I love that singing, preacher. Well, guess what? You need the gospel. Because tomorrow you may step on a landmine. Feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, I'm old. I can't do anything for the Lord anymore. You'd be surprised what you can accomplish. What your testimony means to some new Christian. What your sharing of an experience when the Lord answered a prayer for you and you knew it was Him. And look right here. There's two young ladies that need to know that God answers prayers. You have firsthand knowledge of that.
Amen.
And when they get in a struggle, when they get in a trial, they can remember how God answered your prayer and He'll answer theirs too. Oh, ain't it wonderful that we've got a God that cares for us? He never wants us to see defeat. He never wants us to lose a battle. And when we do, it's us. It's not Him. Now listen. Let me hush. Have you ever studied history? Let's just take World War II, for example. Did the United States win every battle?
No,
they didn't. But I've heard talk about how that the country came together. Women went into the factories and made things to support the war effort and things like that. Men went off to fight. They didn't win every battle. But because they came together, it helped them to win the war. There's only one way, and you're not going to win it on your own. Did you hear me? We had just the other day. You remember the fellow in Maine? He was an Army National Guard person. He was discharged because he had mental issues. One rogue soldier, he went out and he took the lives of people. And you know what happened when they found him? He took his own life. That don't sound like defeat. I don't know what is. If you're going to have victory, you need to have an army behind you.
Amen.
If you're going to have victory, you need to stand with God's army. Does that mean you won't ever get wounded? I've been wounded. Have you?
Yes.
I've had people fire darts at me.
Yes.
I've had people say ugly things toward me.
Yeah.
I've had people talk behind my back. But that's okay. I'll just talk while I'm on my knees.
Amen.
And the Lord will take care of me. I've even had people in church. Imagine that. You probably had that happen too.
Mm-hmm.
Say ugly things. Do you know what I didn't do? I didn't quit going to church.
No.
You know what I didn't do? I didn't sit down and try to break my arm, patting my back, having a pity party. My mom was here this morning. My dad was a deacon for as long as I can remember. Let me tell you about the life of a deacon. I guess Marty's the only one we got here tonight. Whatever goes wrong in the church, the deacon's going to hear about it first. Whatever somebody don't like, the deacon's going to hear about it first. And they may not address you in kind terms. They may say hurtful things. And it might be something you can do absolutely nothing about. I can't tell you at the times that Dad come home
And he cried. I can't tell you at the times that he crawled off and he prayed and he begged God to show him which way to go and what to do and what to say. Oh, the deacons run the church. No, they don't. They just serve the church. That's what they're charged with doing. They just serve the church. And let me preach this. Somebody has to do something in church. Because most of those folks that want to gripe and complain are going to show up every once in a while, make a fuss, and then they don't show up for another day or two. Put your heart in it. We need every soldier we can get because Satan is fighting hard. I want to see my sinners saved. Do you? Amen. And listen to me, and I don't mean to be ugly about it. What good does it do you to say, I want my sinners to be saved, and you never show up when the doors of the church are open? Live a life where they can see a difference, where they can see that there's something special about what you've got on the inside. If you show them joy, they'll want it. If you show them misery, they won't. Is it good to know the Lord?
Amen.
Is it good to be saved?
Amen.
Are you glad you're part of the church of the living God?
Amen.
Are you glad you're part of this church?
Amen.
We're at war. And there might be some folks at Dutch Bottoms that don't care much for me. I don't know. I'm going to preach to you anyway because I love you. Listen, if you don't like the preaching tonight, come on back Wednesday. I'll try again.
Amen.
And I can say this, I've never preached anything to try to hurt anybody. But he did tell me to do this, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. If I only preached about heaven, would I help you? You might feel good for a minute, but you'd still be satisfied in your sins. Here's what Malachi says, chapter 3. Take all the meat into the storehouse and prove me therewith, and see if I won't pour out a blessing that you're not able to contain. You know why you're miserable? You've never tried the Lord. You've never proved Him out to show what He can do. You've never really put your all into the church and said, here I am, Lord, use me. That don't mean you have to sing every time the church doors are open. That don't mean you have to testify every time that we have a service. But He may want you to just slip off and shake hands with somebody, to put an arm around their neck and say, I love you. They might be down at the end of their road, just about to quit and give up. And one kind word is enough to get them from one service to the next. You see, it's the little things that make the difference. It's not the big things. I can even go this far and then I'll hush. You see, we're at war for souls. But if you don't do your part, I can preach until Jesus comes and we'll never see another one saved.
Right.
Did you know that?
Amen.
If you don't witness, if you don't live right, if you don't show up when the doors are open, if you don't do your part in this battle, we'll lose. And your sinners and my sinners will slip off into hell.
Right.
But what about Israel? We are Israel. We are the spiritual Israel.
Amen.
He's only coming back for the church.
Amen.
That's it. I know that's a special place. I know that He chose those people to be born into naturally. I'm a citizen of the United States of America.
But you let me pull a gun and shoot somebody or rob a store and see if that cuts me a break. They're still going to come arrest me. Because I broke the law. Whether I was an illegal alien or whether I was a U.S. resident, they're still going to come arrest me.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes back, he's not going to say, oh, I see right here that your daddy was such and such and so and so. He's going to look for the blood. And if it's there, you're going. And if it's not, I never knew. This is a war. We won a victory here. Last Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
This is a war. We won a victory right over here with a brand new couple.
Yeah.
But we still fighting.
That's right.
Just because we had a little victory don't mean that we need to give up and sit down and relax.
That's right.
And fall back on our laurels and say, well, look what we did. We've not done anything. God did it all. Sis, you had parents that loved you and prayed for you. But Jesus did the forgiving.
Yep.
He did the forgiving.
Yep.
He's the one that makes the difference.
Yeah.
Jesus said, of men born of women, there's not a greater one than John the Baptist. You know what John the Baptist had to say about it? He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. You see, it's all about Jesus. We want to win, we lift up Jesus. He said, I and I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Friends, we're in a battle. You need to get in your place. It's not for me to tell you what your place is, but God will show you. He'll show you where you need to be, and it'll be right stepping in the gap that's necessary for you to be in to hold up his name. But it takes the whole church. I can't do it alone. The deacons can't do it by themselves. It takes all of us working together. Do you know that? Preacher, I don't like you. Well, get over it. Because I'm going to heaven. If you're going, you're going with me.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
You won't have to worry about me preaching anymore because my preaching days will be done.
Right.
My singing, I'll keep singing, Ronnie. I'll keep singing.
Amen.
I'll keep shouting. I'll keep worshiping.
Amen.
I'll keep praising because I've got an eternity to thank him for saving a wretch like me.
Mm.
Heard that saying, to the victor belong the spoils. We'll have all eternity with Jesus. Walking on the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper, the mansions. And you know what goes to the losers? An eternity of agony in hell. They said the Civil War, there was brothers fought against brothers. There'll be families where there'll be one sibling in heaven and one in hell.
Yeah.
I don't want mine to go there, do you?
No.
We're in a battle. We're in a war. If the Lord says talk to your loved one, go do it. But they're a healthy preacher. There's not a thing wrong with them. They won't like it. Love them, love them, love them, and say, I love you. I wish you had Jesus. I wish you knew what it felt like to be saved.
Yeah.
Love, 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 love. Go with all the love in your heart. Say just a few words the Lord gave you to say to them, and you leave it right there. And God will work on the heart. And then you can have victory. If you go with this, you're headed for defeat. Love them. All right.